First of Kings, chapter 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please get up and disguise yourself, that you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam. Go to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, who spoke concerning me that I should be king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves, cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He'll tell you what will become of the child." It's funny how people like Jeroboam, who turned away from Yahweh and made the golden calves and all that, when they really are in a crisis, they try to turn to the one true God. Just shows that there is a conscience in people. There's a hole in every human heart that only God and Jesus can really fit. And when people are really brought down small, and man does come down very small at times, the natural desire is to turn to God. Like the naughty and rebellious little child naturally wants to turn to the parent when they really are in need. Now, if that's how it is between God and ourselves, turn to him now. Don't just turn to him in the time of desperation. Turn to him and live with him. Well, Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah couldn't see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Yahweh said to Ahijah, "The wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he's sick. This is what you shall tell her, for it will be when she comes in that she'll pretend to be another woman." So when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he said, "Come in, you wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another?" Well, that question had an answer, didn't it? It was a rhetorical question. It was a question intended for Jeroboam's wife to just think about. Why was she pretending to be another woman? Because she was ashamed as the wife of an idolater, probably an idolater herself, to actually come to a prophet of Yahweh and admit, "I need God's help now. My idols, my golden calves can't help me with this one." And that was to try to bring her to repentance. So that was his question. Why are you pretending to be another woman? "I'm sent to you with heavy news." Maybe there was a bit of a gap. "Why do you pretend to be another woman?" Silence. And then he says, "For I'm sent to you with heavy news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says Yahweh, God of Israel, I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you haven't been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in my eyes." Well, David didn't always do what was right in God's eyes, did he? We think of what he did with Uriah, Bathsheba and all that. But I think the point is, in his heart, he wished to only do what was right. He failed, but he was judged according to his heart. And that is not a justification for sin, but it is true that God looks at the overall heart position of a person. "But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made you other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back." Now, of course, he was coming to this God whom he'd thrown away, as it were. "Therefore, behold, I will bring evil on the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam every male, he who is shut up and he who is left free in Israel, and will utterly sweep away the house of Jeroboam as a man sweeps away dung until it's all gone. He who dies of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and he who dies in the field shall the birds of the sky eat. Arise, therefore, and go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. All Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward Yahweh, the God of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam." So it seems to be saying that all the other children of Jeroboam were going to die violent deaths and not be buried. And this child was the only one who was going to actually go to the grave in the sense of having a burial service, because something was good found in him. He's described as a child. We don't know how old the child was, but still a child. So, just shows that a child can still be judged by God as being good or bad. And there's some of the kings of Judah who are judged as being evil when they were really quite young when they became king. Just shows that a child has a conscience for good or bad and can decide in their own way that I want to follow God. Moreover, Yahweh will raise him up a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day, even now. Yahweh will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he will root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river. What's the Euphrates? Because they've made their Asherim to provoke me to anger. He will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he has sinned, and with which he has made Israel to sin. So God is not only against sin, he is particularly sensitive to any leading of other people into sin, and you see that with his repeated condemnation of Jeroboam as the one who made Israel sin. Jeroboam's wife arose, departed, and came to Tirzah, and as she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. It's interesting that the prophet had said, when you cross the city frontier, when you cross the boundary of the city, the child will die. Well, she crossed the boundary of the city and nothing happened. It was only when she crossed the threshold of the house that the child died. And you think, why the slight change in plan by God? And I wonder if it was in order to give her the opportunity to repent. And she didn't take it. All Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of Yahweh by Ahijah. The rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and reigned, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Jeroboam reigned for 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his place. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Yahweh had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. So you see that if he was 41, Solomon had him by an Ammonite woman 41, 42 years before. And yet Solomon reigned for 40 years. And so, therefore, even before Solomon came to the throne, he was having relationships with Gentile women. So when he writes in the book of Proverbs, under God's inspiration, young man, don't get involved with Gentile women, they'll lead you astray. He was a hypocrite because he himself was involved with Pharaoh's daughter from Egypt, with this Naamah, the Ammonitess. He saw truth, and yet he thought that just knowing it was good enough. But it isn't. You've got to make it true for you, and you've got to personally apply it. Judah did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, even worse than all that their fathers had done. For they also built themselves high places and pillars and Asherim on every green hill. And there were also Sodomites in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which Yahweh drove out before the children of Israel. In the fifth year of Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Don't forget, Solomon had married the king of Egypt's daughter. It just shows that didn't really work out. And he took away the treasures of the house of Yahweh and of the king's house. He took away all, and all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made in their place shields of brass and gave them to the hands of the captains of the guard. And whenever the king went into the house of Yahweh, the guard bore them and brought them back into the guard room. Just shows how nervous he now was and how things were not a shadow of what they had been under his father. There was war between Rehoboam, that's the king of Judah, and Jeroboam, the king of Israel, continually. Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. That's stressed twice. It was obviously significant. And, of course, Solomon, in his older age, had turned to worship the gods of Ammon because his wives, like Naamah, turned his heart away towards them. So you can see how it just didn't work out, and his son did not really do good before God, and you could say the poor guy didn't have really much of a chance with a mother like that. Of course, he did have a chance. He could have decided to do the right thing. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his place.